Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where we grab those really dense nuggets of information you've picked up, and we drill down deep, really get to the bedrock.
That's right. Our goal is always to give you that deeper context, show you what's actually working underneath, and maybe most importantly, tell you, so what? Why does this matter for you?
Exactly. And today, we're looking at what seems like, well, just a simple one-liner, a single observation.
But it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. It really is a perfect doorway into understanding, I think, the core psychology of finance today. It's all about anticipation.
Okay, so here's the source material we're digging into. It captures market timing just perfectly. The finding is, mortgage rates declined before possible policy shifts.
That phrase really nails it. Just think about what that implies for a second. Official economic policy, right? The actual actions by central banks or whoever. That hasn't even been confirmed yet, maybe not even fully decided.
Uh-huh.
And yet the cost of the biggest thing most people ever buy, their home loan.
Yeah.
It's already moving downwards.
Yeah, that does seem counterintuitive if you assume markets just wait around for the official word.
Which they don't.
Okay, right. So let's unpack this. Why is the market basically doing the policymaker's job for them ahead of time? It suggests that this market, the fixed income market, it's not driven by facts announced yesterday. It's driven by what? Highly educated guesses. Expectations.
Exactly. Highly educated expectation. That's a good way to put it. It's essentially this massive collective bet on what's going to happen next.
So that insight, the market moving before the policy, that's fundamental.
It really is. For anyone seriously watching these markets, the actual policy announcement, sometimes it feels almost like confirmation theater. The real story, the real move might have already played out.
The timing tells us everything.
It tells us everything about how efficient these markets can be,
How
relentlessly forward-looking they are.
Okay, so for this deep dive, we're going to analyze the mechanics behind that timing and crucially what it means for you, the listener.
Let's do it.
So let's start with just the observed sequence, the what and the when. The what is pretty clear. Mortgage rates declined.
Right. Straightforward. Lower rates make borrowing cheaper. That usually helps the housing market, boosts demand, injects a bit of confidence. Standard stuff.
But as you said, it's the when that makes this interesting. The action happened before possible policy shifts.
And that word, possible? I mean, that's doing all the heavy lifting in that sentence, isn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't after the Fed cut rates or following the new bond buying program. No, the policy was just possible.
Mm.
Maybe likely, maybe not. Not guaranteed, certainly not implemented yet.
So the decline was driven purely by prediction. By sentiment.
Pretty much entirely by strong sentiment and prediction, not by the policy itself.
That is the key distinction, isn't it? We need to hold on to that.
Absolutely.
It means the big players, the institutions trading the long-term deck that really sets these mortgage rates, they weren't just, you know, reading the tea leaves.
No, they were convinced enough by the atmospheric pressure, let's call it, to actually put their capital behind that belief.
Okay, so what's going on in that bond market then? You said it underpins mortgages.
Right. The bond market, especially things like the 10-year treasury yield, that's what mortgage rates tend to track.
Uh-huh.
And that market is constantly recalibrating. Like minute by minute, it's looking at every whisper, every data point, trying to guess what the central banks or regulators are going to do next. It's trying to get ahead of the game.
So if the market thinks, okay, easing is coming in, say, 3 months, maybe 6 months.
They don't wait. They start adjusting their pricing models now. They bake that expectation right into today's bond prices.
Okay, which brings us to a really critical takeaway for the listener right up front.
Yeah.
By the time the actual news breaks, you know, confirming the policy shift, the impact on rates, a lot of it has already happened. It's been priced in.
That's exactly it. If you're waiting for the official headline on the evening news, you've probably missed the boat on the initial significant market move. You're reacting to history at that point.
You've fundamentally misunderstood how fast this world moves.
Which brings us nicely to the next part, doesn't it? Analyzing how this anticipation actually works. The why. How does a guess become a price?
Right. I kind of like thinking about it as market foresight. You know, it's like you don't just wait for the weather forecast to say rain.
Uh-huh.
You see the dark clouds rolling in. You feel the humidity change. Maybe the wind picks up and you grab your umbrella before the app confirms it.
That's a great analogy. The market, in this case, saw the clouds. It measured those atmospheric signals.
But what are those signals specifically? When we talk about anticipated policy shifts, making mortgage rates drop, what's the market usually anticipating?
Typically, In this context, it means one of two main things.
Mm-hmm.
Either the market expects future rate cuts from the central bank, or it expects some other kind of monetary easing. Maybe the central bank starts buying bonds again, you know, quantitative easing to inject liquidity, something like that.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do traders get confident enough about this? Are they just hanging on every word in speeches from central bankers?
Well, yes, they are listening to the speeches very carefully, weighing every single word, nuance, change in tone. But it's more than that. They're cross-referencing those words with hard data, high-frequency, complex data.
Like what?
For instance, the market probably wasn't just waiting for the next Fed meeting. It was intensely watching key leading indicators, things like the core PCE index.
Ah, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge.
Exactly. If that index comes in softer than expected, even by a little bit, that significantly increases the probability in the market's eyes that the Fed will ease policy down the road.
So they're watching the data that the Fed watches.
Precisely. They also analyze things like the dot plot, you know, those projections from the individual FOMC members about future rates. They're looking for shifts in the consensus view there. Is the median dot moving lower?
So the market isn't really waiting for a definitive headline that says rate cut imminent.
No, not at all. It's looking for the statistical evidence, the subtle shifts in language, the changes in projections. Basically, anything that suggests the policymaker's hand is about to be forced or that their thinking is evolving.
And this growing consensus, this collective confidence, you can actually see it.
Oh, yeah. You can observe it in other markets, too. Like, look at the pricing of federal funds futures contracts or options on those futures.
Right. Those are essentially bets on where the official rate will be in the future.
Exactly. If a lot of sophisticated money is buying futures contracts that imply a lower benchmark rate 3 or 6 months out, well, that probability starts getting treated as a near certainty. It gets priced in now. That's how the consensus gets built and reflected in asset prices, often long before any official vote happens.
Okay, that clarifies the why it happens. But what about the mechanism? How does that expectation, that anticipation of a future policy move, translate directly into lower mortgage rates today?
Good question. You have to trace the plumbing back, essentially. And it leads us again to the bond market, specifically the 10-year Treasury yield.
Okay, the benchmark.
Right. Mortgage rates tend to track these long-term government bond yields. Now, if the market strongly anticipates monetary easing, meaning money is expected to be cheaper in the future,
then holding on to assets that pay a fixed rate becomes more attractive now, before those rates potentially fall.
You got it. There's a rush, relatively speaking, into high-quality long-term assets, like that 10-year Treasury note. Investors want to lock in the current yield before it drops, or just find a safe haven for capital.
So increase demand for Treasury bonds.
Right. And basic economics tells us when demand for something goes up, its price goes up. And here's the crucial mechanical bit for bonds. When the price of a fixed income asset like a bond goes up, its effective yield, its interest rate automatically goes down. They move inversely.
Ah, I see. So the anticipation of cheaper money in the future
drives demand for bonds today,
which pushes bond prices up today,
which forces bond yields down today.
And because mortgage lenders price their loans based on those lower bond yields, mortgage rates fall now, before the policy is even official.
Bingo. The anticipation gets baked directly into your borrowing costs right now. The market psychology translates into real dollars and cents on a loan.
Wow. Okay. But this raises another question. How accurate does this market anticipation need to be? I mean, markets aren't perfect predictors, right?
No, absolutely not. That's a critical point of nuance. The fact that the decline happened, as stated in our source, suggests the consensus view is very strong. The conviction was high. But market anticipation can definitely be wrong.
Okay, so what happens then? If the market prices in, say, 2 rate cuts based on all these signals, but then the central bank only delivers 1 or maybe none, hold steady.
That's when you can see some real fireworks. Volatility can explode. If the central bank disappoints that strong market consensus, then all those bond prices that got bid up based on the expectation of easing, they can fall sharply, instantly. And because yields move inversely to price, yields shoot back up.
And mortgage rates jump right back up with them.
Very rapidly, typically. That risk of being wrong, of the central bank surprising the market, is always there. But the fact that we saw a noticeable decline in rates beforehand suggests the market felt pretty darn sure about the policy shift coming.
Fascinating. So the size of the decline itself is kind of a measure of the market's confidence level.
In a way, yes. It reflects the strength of that collective bet.
So connecting this to the bigger picture, this rapid decline, this anticipatory move, what does it tell us about how markets work overall?
Well, it really demonstrates something profound about market efficiency, doesn't it? Financial markets today are incredibly sophisticated machines. They process enormous amounts of public information data, speeches, sentiment indicators almost instantaneously. And they use all that to try and predict what authorities, like central banks, are going to do. The whole system is kind of designed to eliminate easy arbitrage opportunities by pricing in the future or the perceived future right away.
Okay, let's get to the so what section three, implications and takeaways. If anticipation is king, what's the practical lesson here for the listener? Someone maybe tracking borrowing costs or looking at investment opportunities.
I think the core practical lesson is this. If you're watching economic trends, or especially borrowing costs like mortgage rates, focusing on the policy signals and the market expectations is often way more critical than just waiting for the final official announcement.
Right, because the real opportunity, like locking in that lower rate, that happens early.
It happens early, driven by that consensus forecast that's being built from all those little data points we talked about, the PCE inflation, the dot plots, the futures markets.
So, waiting for the meeting recap on the news that night.
Means you've likely already missed the main move. The initial repricing has happened. You have to be more proactive. You need to be tracking the subtle shifts in rhetoric, the leading economic indicators that signal a change in sentiment is brewing.
You need to watch the clouds, not just wait for the forecast.
Exactly. If you just wait for the official announcement, you're not really benefiting from the market's efficiency. You're just reacting to something that's already, in a sense, history for the market price.
You need to be aware of how just a slight softening in tone from a policymaker, or maybe one surprisingly low inflation number, can almost instantly ripple through to the 10-year yield and pretty quickly after to your potential mortgage cost.
That's the game.
Okay, so let's try and synthesize this. What we learned just from this one sentence: mortgage rates declined before possible policy shifts.
I think it's just a perfect, really concise illustration of how anticipatory pricing works, especially in fixed income markets. Expectation drives the movement. The official policy often just confirms what the market already figured out.
It really highlights that access to information, and maybe more importantly, the speed of reacting to that information, are the real currencies in these markets.
Absolutely. And that efficiency, that speed, is precisely why monitoring those consensus-building tools, the futures markets, key economic releases, is so vital if you want to understand where things might be heading. That's where the forward-looking insight really lies.
This has been a fascinating deep dive, really unpacking a very short but incredibly powerful piece of data.
It really has.
We've basically discovered that when it comes to major borrowing costs like mortgages, market expectation can hold significantly more sway, at least in the short term, than the actual policy realization.
Yeah, it definitely shifts the focus. For anyone trying to be savvy about this, you move from watching announcements to trying to understand probabilities. That's the mental shift needed to try and stay ahead, or at least keep pace.
All right, as we wrap up this deep dive, let's leave you, our listener, with a final thought. Something to chew on, building right off this source material.
Okay.
We established the market was confident enough, right, to drop rates before the policy was confirmed. So the question for you is, what specific leading indicators, those early signals we discussed, are you seeing now in the current economic landscape? What signs might be building the next powerful consensus expectation in the market? Now that you know a bit more about what to look for, those inflation readings, the futures pricing, the subtle official language, maybe you can start tracking those signals yourself and potentially get a sense of things before the next big headline breaks.
That really is the ultimate goal of understanding this market psychology, isn't it? Applying it yourself. Great point to end on. Thanks for exploring this with us today.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.